Because we've got communion, I'm going to share a word with you just now. Last week, we were looking at the festival of Pentecost. I hope some of you had a chance to look at Martin Fair's service that he did. Martin Fair's the moderator of the Church of Scotland, and you can still see his service on the website. And we looked at how Pentecost was the Hebrew festival of weeks of Shavuot, or first fruits. And first fruits was when the wheat harvest was brought into the temple, the first of the wheat harvest, to celebrate that incredibly important grain harvest and the giving of the law, the Torah of Moses. And we celebrated, we remembered last week that the giving of the Holy Spirit on that first day of Pentecost was a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham to be his God and that his people would be God's people. And that stretches out beyond the Jews that day and those who were observant Jews to those who put their trust in the Messiah. And that new people, that was amazing. That was the first promise fulfilled. And you can read about God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 17. The second promise we looked at last week was the promise to Moses to lead Israel out of captivity and slavery into freedom. And Pentecost is that too, that as the Holy Spirit fills us, the very life of Jesus that runs through the grave is ours, and that covenant of the law is written on our hearts. And that's the third promise, the promise given to Jeremiah when that second exile was taking place to Babylon, that he would write their law on their hearts, and that he would be their God, and that we would be his people. And that's all fulfilled at Pentecost, those three promises. And I want to have a look a bit more at what happens when the Holy Spirit fills those people. Because as Peter says to the gathered crowd, the promise of the Holy Spirit fulfills these things, and the promises for you and for your children. Here's this wonderful picture we took on William's 90th birthday. The promises for you and for your children, for all who are far off on whom the Lord will call. And that promise is that through the gift of the Holy Spirit and our adoption into his family, that he's with us. And that the gift of the Holy Spirit is ours. But what we're going to do over the next few weeks is look at how that gift of the Spirit was manifested in the lives of those people who are gathered there. Because as they're filled with the Holy Spirit, things happen. Obviously, Peter preaches. And then there's this wonderful passage that we're going to read together just now in Acts 2 that describes what happens as a result of the infilling of the Spirit. So those first 3,000 that come to faith are just like those first fruits, the first grain. I mean, Jesus had spoken how at the parable of the sower, that the gathering in of people into his promises, into the kingdom, was going to be like the gathering in of a harvest. In the parable of the sower and of the sheaves and all sorts of different parables, Jesus had made that comparison. And now Jesus is taking that, Peter and the early church are taking that harvest in. And there's that tremendous sense that God is with them in the harvest, that this is the expanding of the promise to the Jewish people to the rest of the world, which had always been there because God had called them to be a light to the nations. And that happens in the Jewish Messiah, in Jesus. And of course, Jesus' name in Hebrew is Joshua, the one who saves. So let's read together from Acts chapter 2, the back end of the passage that we read last week. And this will lead us into thinking about what we're about to do today in communion. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued to preach for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in their homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So how did the Holy Spirit manifest in their lives? Twice in this passage it speaks about the Lord's Supper, that they gathered together and they broke bread. That's what they did. The Holy Spirit manifests in their lives by their desire to be with one another and to share meals. You think about the history of the Jewish people. Right from the start, the breaking of bread is there. You see it in countless biblical stories. When Sarah and Abraham have had the promise of a son, and it's not come, and Sarah's getting old, some angelic figures, some strange guests meet them at Mamre in Genesis 18, and they share a meal together. And during that meal, they receive the news that she would fall pregnant. And of course, Sarah laughs. And so the child of the promise is called Isaac, which means laughter. You think about the meal that was held at the Passover when Moses was getting ready to lead the children of Israel out of captivity in Egypt. And I love that detail that's in Exodus, that the Egyptians who observed this, who put the blood of a perfect year-old lamb on the lintel, the doorpost and the lintel of their house, they were saved from death too. That didn't just cover the Jewish people, it covered those who put their trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of course the God of Moses. You think about the meals that were shared as the Jews carried out their festivals, the seven festivals each year that we read about in Leviticus. All involve food. I've said this many times before, but it bears repeating, that when God wanted his people to remember his goodness to them, he got them to eat together, to play with their food. And indeed, the communion that we share is just a little foretaste of actually what they were doing. There's every evidence that for the early church, communion was a meal. It was a proper meal, a fellowship meal together. And it was whatever they were eating, and the bread and the wine that were there would then be shared with the promises. We read that in 1 Corinthians 11, you know, just as was passed down to me on the night he was betrayed, the Lord took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." We're going to enact that again, but not just enact it, we're going to take part in it, because the breaking of bread together is so important. Think about that Road to Emmaus story that we've reflected on over these past weeks. They broke bread together, and as Jesus broke the bread, as he gave thanks, as the nail-pierced marks were visible on his wrists, that was when they recognized him. There's something about eating together. And of course, when we do Alpha, we gather around the meal. It's one of the unusual things about doing Alpha online, is that we don't have that opportunity to eat together. And that's when so many of the good conversations happen, that we find out each other's stories. It's one of the ways that we learn to give ourselves to one another, is when we break bread together. It's one of the things that we miss just now. It's fascinating that as soon as the restrictions were lifted on having a barbecue together, I started getting messages through from people who were having barbecues together. That sense of eating, of a couple of households coming together, even though there are all sorts of restrictions around that, it's worth doing, because when we eat together, we are with one another. There's a being together that matters. Jesus, of course, ate and lived with his disciples. He didn't just visit them for seminars. His inner core were with them all the time. There's all sorts of stories about when they ate. And they ate as a group, a bit like David with his mighty men in Chronicles, as they would meet and gather and talk and share and do great deeds together. And of course, in some of the meals, they had other people with them. And the famous one is the gathering of 5,000. And it's 5,000 men. There was women and children there too. And they take one boy's packed lunch. I've got a physical representation of that here. Here's the loaves and fishes. And it's taken and blessed. And as it's blessed and distributed to the people, it's multiplied to feed thousands with 12 baskets left over. One big basket for every one of the tribes of Israel. Just an incredible, miraculous, wonderful story of the provision of God as we eat together. I wonder how many of you are making plans for who you're going to meet with as the lockdown eases. Who you're going to share a meal with. Who you're going to find some way to share a meal with. You're looking at the regulations, figuring out a way around that you can just be and eat and break bread together. And so we're approaching the table at this time with that expectation that we will break bread together. And even though we cannot, as we usually do, share the bread, we can share with one another. And that the bread that we share is made one by the same Holy Spirit that fills us with Pentecostal fire. One of the tasks of the Holy Spirit is that unification. We've shared it with prayer. And one of the details that's easy to miss is how little unity there was in Jesus' followers before he died. Indeed, after he died, there's little bits and pieces of the disciples going different ways. They didn't stick together. They stuck together once they were filled with the Spirit. At Jesus' command, they're told to wait in Jerusalem. And 10 days after Jesus, he's with them for 40 days, which speaks of the flood and all sorts of stuff. There's all sorts of 40 days is an incredible biblical number. And then for 10 more days, they wait till Pentecost comes, the 50th day. And at that festival, they're filled and their unity because they combine together for just that short time now forges them together into that new people of God, that one new people of God from people from all over the world. The 3,000 that responded that day were told of all the different places that they come from Mesopotamia and Cappadocia, from Pamphylia, from Pontus, it's an incredible list of different places. And if you were a Roman citizen, you'd understand that really was describing the known world. There's people there from all over the world to celebrate the Passover season through to Pentecost. And those are the people that make up that first church community. Every imaginable different kind of person all over the empire. And those people gathered together. Those people gathered together, make that new people of God, and they gather together in the unity of the Spirit to break bread together, to share the Lord's Supper. One of my favorite descriptions of the Holy Spirit comes from Tom Smale. Tom was a Church of Scotland minister and then went off to teach in St. John's, Nottingham. And at the Carbery Festival, I had an opportunity to sit and share a meal with him. And like many really, really brainy people, he wasn't the easiest person to hold a conversation with. But it was such a privilege to sit with him. And he'd sat with many others over the years who I respected. And his book, The Giving Gift, is one of the best books about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giving gift. As the Spirit of God pours into us, it's not just to make us feel good. It's not just to empower us. But the Holy Spirit comes with gifts. And as John Wimber liked to say, when the Holy Spirit fills us, he doesn't just come with an overnight bag. He comes with all his luggage. All of the gifts of the Spirit are available to every believer at all times. And yes, there will be different gifts that we move in. But those gifts come with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the giving gift. Even in these days, as we trust and ask and seek, He will give us the gifts that we need to minister to those around us. I was sitting with John Scott yesterday, and John pulled out, he's got a wee pocketbook, and he's written down all the names of the people he's praying for, and some of you who are watching are on that list, and you don't even know it. And Diane said to him, we were out in the garden. Yes, we were socially distanced, but I'm a key worker, and that's fine. We're outside. And Dan said, you know what? That's what William did. And it's great how the Lord calls, because William's home now, and he's called you to take his place. And God pours in his Holy Spirit, and as the Spirit gives the gifts and the power that to work in those gifts, extraordinary things happen. And in breaking bread together, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to give ourselves to each other. It's incredible to just look at what's written on the live chat as we gather together. I love the fact that that's recorded. Other people can not just watch and listen to what we're doing worship-wise and the preaching, but they can also experience the love of that church family as they read the comments. Chris saying it's 201 days till Christmas. Some of you will be desperate for that statistic. Other folks sharing, how are you doing? It's wonderful to see you. I love my church family. Telling us about birthdays and announcements and sharing news and just the joy of being with one another, of just saying that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be one with all of our differences, all of our challenges. We don't even all get on all the time, and yet we're one in the Holy Spirit, and we can break bread together in unity. And as the Holy Spirit fills us, as the Holy Spirit fills us today, we can break bread together. Just have a think for a moment about the people you've shared communion with. People who've passed you the bread, and said, the body of Christ broken for you. People who've passed the cup and said, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. People who, when we've shared the peace with one another, have given you a hug or a handshake or a high five, as is appropriate. That joy on people's faces as we worship together, who you've shared church with. And I'm going right back. I'm thinking about some of those saints who left us a long, long time ago, but are still part of the church triumphant and are still part of the church with which we are one today, knitted together by that faith, just like that early church. It's easy to see the Holy Spirit present, giving Peter the ability to preach. It's easy to see the power of the Holy Spirit and the miracles that were done. The power of the Holy Spirit in revival, that every day people were added to their number. But the ordinary everyday thing of them gathering in each other's homes and breaking bread together is just as much a miracle. That all these different people are given strength to be together. With all their histories, sometimes in spite of their histories, knowing that the same blood of Jesus has washed them of their sin. That they are cleansed and renewed and given life and hope just like all of us have. And that forgiveness that they were experiencing through the cross, as that early church was grasping that the cross was the means by which they were forgiven and set free, that they were able to love one another with a deep and abiding love. That the Holy Spirit of God could so fill them with the love of Jesus that every one of their human relationships was underwritten by the love of Jesus that had gone to the cross for us. Yes, fulfilling the Day of Atonement for forgiveness of sins, but even more so, fulfilling the Passover, where we are freed from slavery. Slavery to our brokenness, to what's broken in this world, to the enemy, and to death. I can see their faces. Those we love. One of the things I wanted to do as we prepared the communion table was to bring things that reminded me of people that I love. We'll have a look at them just now. I said, here's the loaves and fishes. They were in my dad's study and the communion set were my mom and dad's, and they were passed on to me when my dad went home to be with Jesus. This lovely piece of glass was bought by Diane for me. It just reminds me of the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I use those colors to make the desk I've got in my study now. This jug here with a dragonfly on it was a wedding gift. And this cross here was made by John McLean. This thing's fascinating. I love it because it's made out of a big punch, a polished punch, something that you'd use to hammer a nail home. And at the bottom, there's a bearing. And then at the top, there's the pins of a brass pins of a plug that have been machined to make a cross. And it looks like the steeple of a church. But the punch reminds me of the nails. And the bearing reminds me of him shouldering up all of the stuff in me that needs repaired. When I look at that, I remember. And I love the fact that John machined that, made that, just dropped it off one day. Friends, we can't be together in the same place, but we can be together in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't yet break bread together except with those who are in our household. But we can break bread with one another. For that same Jesus whose Spirit unites us, that same Jesus is with every single one of us, uniting us, drawing us together, and giving us the power, the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to face these tough days, and calling us to figure out what good we could be about that we haven't even thought about yet. I'm heartened that He will complete the work that He's begun in us. And that work starts in the church right there, in that community in Jerusalem, where they broke bread together.